This episode of the Wildly Balanced podcast is sponsored by the How to Hire and Utilize a VA in Your Business Masterclass. Are you ready to hire a VA for your ever-growing business but not sure how? In this in-depth masterclass, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about hiring a VA in your business. What is a VA? Where's the best place to find a VA? Why should you hire a VA? How to outsource with ease? In this 45-minute masterclass, you will walk away with a potent, juicy list of tasks that you can outsource today. How amazing is that? Get this bad boy for only $22. Visit the link in our show notes or go to carlyitaco.podia.com to learn more. That's carlyitaco, C-A-R-L-Y-I-T-A-C-O dot podia, P-O-D-I-A dot com to learn more.
Welcome to the Wildly Balanced podcast.
Wildly Balanced is your weekly permission slip to bring more fun and wildness into your work-life balance.
Join us every week for our favorite tips on how to have more fun, shift your mindset, and let your wild side flow.
Welcome back to another episode of Wildly Balanced. I've got a super special guest here today. I love doing the guest episodes because they're so fun. This is also, I'm recording this in January. And it is, I don't know exactly when it's going to go live, but it is my podcast batching day, apparently, because I've got like 5 interviews this week. So I'm super excited. We've got some super, super special guests coming up. I'm so excited to have Vivian here. It is a special place in my heart, Vivian has. We just met. I actually found her through TikTok, which is exciting. But she is also a VA, which is amazing. And she's also Canadian, which our niche and like who we've kind of been interviewing lately has been like coaches from America. So I'm really excited to kind of have you like close to home. So Vivian here is a corporate dropout turned virtual assisting turned digital nomad turned freelance coach. It's so good to have you, Vivian.
Thank you so much for having me, Carly. It is awesome to be here.
I'm so excited. I just want to start off by asking you what you're currently balancing in life.
Oh man, what I'm currently balancing. Last year, I definitely went kind of hard setting up the whole coaching business and my course and everything like that. So now balancing back and dialing down a little bit and enjoying my time and, you know, that freedom that I basically worked so hard to achieve. So that's what I'm balancing right now. It's going back to my, you know, freelance digital nomad sort of lifestyle after hustling last year.
Ooh, that's so fun. I just really want to start from the beginning and talk a little bit about like how you really transitioned from like corporate to corporate dropout. And then like, as we go down the line, like how you went from a virtual assistant to a digital nomad to a freelance coach and all the things, like how it kind of all like fell into place for you.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I like to think that everything so far has happened by accident, honestly, because I didn't really plan for anything that I've done so far, either the freelancing or the virtual assistant business or the coaching to grow as much as it did. But I basically went to school for business. And after university, I, you know, just went straight to my regular 9-to-5. So yeah, I basically graduated university, went on my regular 9-to-5. And I kind of did that for about 4 years. But like my thing was, I always loved traveling. Like I always liked to travel ever since I was little, because I guess I always had this travel bug because my family moved to Canada when I was very young. So I've had that first, you know, exposure to going to a different country, learning a new culture and visiting a new country and all that. So I always loved to travel. And I knew that I couldn't do that with a regular 9-to-5 because, you know, you're kind of stuck in an office and you get like 2 weeks vacation a year. So like that was always a huge bummer for me. And I didn't know like if there was any other type of lifestyle out there. So I just started researching and like I read every single travel blog that I could find to see how people made money on the road, to see if there's anything that, you know, similar that I could do. And that's when I stumbled on freelancing and just freelancing at the beginning, not the virtual assistant stuff. So I basically tried it out just for fun. Like I said, you know what, I'm just going to make a profile and I'm going to, you know, send a few proposals. And I started as a blog and article writer because I liked writing and I didn't have any experience writing. I just liked it. And so I got a few jobs or a few gigs and I thought I'm going to make $100 here and there. But eventually, like, I was making like quite a bit just from this side gig. And I realized that, okay, this is like
a really viable option for making money on your laptop while you're traveling around. So I quit my job and I planned a 5-month backpacking trip through Europe with my partner. And when I came back, I was like, can't go back to the 9-to-5. I can't, like, there's no way. So I'm going to go all in on freelancing. And at that point, I pivoted into virtual assistant work because I wanted to bring in a little bit of my corporate experience, since I know how to work in an office and I know how to do email and, like, you know, filing systems and all of that. So I'm just going to try that out. And it worked out, like, amazing, obviously. So I've been doing that since 2016. And I had never gone back to an office job since then.
Oh, damn. You're like an OG.
Yeah, because I know, because back then, you know, it wasn't as popular as it is now. Right now, after COVID, everything went remote. So everyone's like, yeah, work remote. That's, you know, we all know that. But back then, it wasn't that common, honestly. Like, there were people, obviously, who did it, freelancing and virtual assistant work, but it wasn't as mainstream as it is now. Like, now, I think it's a lot easier to start because it's more acceptable. Like, businesses know, okay, you can hire a freelancer as opposed to an employee. So, yeah.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. I thought I was an OG. I did my course and, like, started dabbling in it in, like, 2018, early 2019.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm an OG. For 2016. That's awesome.
Oh man, and there's people who started, like, I mean, because the virtual assistant term existed already when I started in 2016, so I don't know who started it, but it's been a while.
Totally. I love that so much. I mentioned before I found you on TikTok, which is funny because I found, like, one of your TikToks about, like, working online. I think it was, like, promoting your course or something.
Probably, yeah.
And it's funny listening to it now because there's so many, like, synchronicities of our journeys together too. Cause, like, I started virtual assisting for the same reason of, like, I would go and I would travel and I would do, like, 1 month or 2 month stints. And then I would, like, basically it was the cycle of, like, and I've talked about it on the pod before, but it was like, save up as much as you can and work as long, like, as hard as you can for, like, 5-6 months, and then take off as much time as you physically can without quitting your job. And then, like, blow all your money in, like, 2 months or whatever it is, and then, like, come back and, like, start the cycle again of, like, saving money, going and, like, you know. And so I fell in love with traveling too, and I was like, there's gotta be a way that you can, like, work on the road.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny because that was my experience as well. Those 4 years that I worked in corporate, it was me doing that, like, saving up money and then, you know, taking vacation and, like, taking my 2-week vacation around Christmas because then I get more than 2 weeks, and then, like, just road tripping randomly down the California coast or something like that and trying to fit in as much adventure as I could in that time frame. But yeah, that was the norm, I guess, at the beginning, because that's, you know, that's all we know is work hard, save up money, go on a trip, and then come back and do it all over again.
Totally. Like, go until you have, like, just enough for rent. And then, like, come back and work as hard as you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. That's so cool listening to your story. Cause it's like, literally, I started by, like, Googling, I looked on Pinterest. I was like, what is freelance? Like, I'll look that up. And then I know that you have a course for virtual assistants, and we can talk about it in a bit. But, like, I found a course very similar to that, where it was like, here's how to become a virtual assistant. Here's everything you need to know. And then never looked back.
Man, I wish that there were courses back then when I started, because there was nothing similar to that. And I just kind of had to learn by trial and error and figuring stuff out, making mistakes and then fixing them. So yeah, it's great that there's so many resources now.
Totally. And I love that you said, like, with COVID and, like, the pandemic and all that stuff, people are really realizing, like, how easy it is to work online and how, like, valuable it is as an employee to, like, have your employees work from home, because then you save, like, all that capital of, like, having an office, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's becoming more and more common. I think I saw a stat from Upwork where they did a study to see, you know, how well freelancers are doing, and it said that I think 44-45% of freelancers earn more as a freelancer than they did in their corporate 9-to-5, which is, like, I mean, I know that for a fact. And likewise, it's a lot more affordable for small businesses because you don't have to hire a full-time employee and, you know, do all that with, you know, benefits, withholding taxes and all that, because the freelancer figures it out on their own. So yeah, I don't know. It's profitable for both sides.
Totally. That's so awesome. I'm curious. You said you had like trial and error in your business over the years. What's the most important lesson you've learned so far in your career, like as a freelancer to VA to freelance coach?
Most important lesson I have learned, not every client is going to work out, and that's fine. Like when it comes to freelance client relationship, it's really important that the energies match between you and the client, because you need to be able to work together, not just like an employee boss relationship where you just do the work, but you actually need to get along with each other. And I've had several clients in the past, and some of them were really nice, awesome, you know, people. We just didn't like vibe, I guess is the term. And it didn't work out, right? Because the relationship didn't flow. It wasn't that fluid. So you are going to encounter several clients like that, and it might not work out. And then, you know, you keep going and until you find your, you know, inner circle of clients that you can work with long-term.
Totally. I'm a little backstory in me. I'm like a general admin VA. So I tend to do like kind of like long-term projects or not projects, but like a long-term relationship with clients kind of thing rather than like the one-off projects. Yeah. And she was my biggest client for a while, and we've since parted ways. But like I started with her as like a social media manager, mm-hmm. which was wild that I don't even do that in my business anymore. But we started with that. And then like throughout, I think the 2.5 years that we worked together, I became like almost second in her company kind of, or like maybe third in her company. I was like her right hand man kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just like became like her assistant program director too. So it's like crazy that it started as something, but then it evolved into what it was.
And I think it's because there's less like pressure for both parties. And as you grow with your client and, you know, you basically learn all the ins and outs of their business, they have more trust in you and they want to hand off more high level sort of tasks as long as you can handle them, right? But that's been my experience too with a lot of my clients, where basically they kind of hand me the keys to the kingdom and they're like, okay, you are like my gatekeeper and you know, you're basically their right hand man or woman, right? But I totally understand where you're coming from there.
I love that analogy. I've never thought of it like that, but it is like them handing the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah.
That's so good. I also,
I was just going to say, those are the actual words from one of my clients is like, yeah, you basically have the keys to the kingdom. So if anybody needs anything from me, they can just contact you and you'll know where it is. So yeah.
That's so fun. I also, something came up when you said like about corporate and being able to like have a freelancer and it kind of benefits both parties. I think something that comes up too is like people love to work and they love to like people please. And like my partner is one of those people that like, if he has the work to do, he'll work like 24 hours in a row because he loves it so much. Yeah. And I feel like that's a really good like thing that you can kind of get into with being a freelancer, having your own business too, is like you can work as much as you want or as little as you want, but then also like be valued for what you work. Absolutely. You know, like if you work salary and you work like 100 hours a week, like you're still getting the same amount, but if you get to like choose your hours and like decide how much you're worth kind of thing, you just like feel more valued.
Absolutely. I'm always preaching that because with a salary position, there's a cap in how much you earn. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter if you get more efficient at your job and you finish it faster. And then you have like, you can finish your job in like 4 hours and then you have another 4 hours where you're basically twiddling your thumbs and doing nothing. You still get paid the same amount. It doesn't matter how much work you're doing. As a freelancer, if you get more efficient, if you get better, if you provide more value, you get paid more, or you can fit in more clients, you scale your income. It's just a lot more beneficial for everyone. And your client is happy because they're getting a bigger bang for their buck, right? They are getting a lot more value for what they're paying their freelancer, right? So yeah, you're totally bang on that.
Totally. Oh, I love that. Something I don't do in my business too much too, but I know that I have the power to, is like as I get more efficient, like raising your rates because it takes you less time. Like I usually do like an hourly base package because that's what works for me. So it's like I can just raise my rates whenever I want.
Yeah, exactly. If you're learning every year, if you're picking up new skills or you're learning new tools, then you have more value as a freelancer and as a virtual assistant. So you get to increase your rates. But I think that we are always like worried about that, and we're always hesitant to increase our rates because we think, oh, you know, maybe I'm overcharging, or maybe, I don't know, like, yeah, we're just worried or self-conscious that people are going to think, oh my God, why are you charging that much? But we're actually like, that's how much value we bring. And I think that's a little bit of imposter syndrome sometimes. And one of the biggest hurdles that I had to overcome at the beginning, because I was severely undercharging just because I felt like, well, that's, you know, that's what I'm supposed to charge. But no, once you understand your value, the right clients are going to value you for what you know.
I love that. I love that so much. Imposter syndrome's a bitch. Ugh. Like I'm going on 4 years in. I can't math. I think it's like going on the fourth year. I still get imposter syndrome like often.
Yeah, it doesn't really ever go away, I think, for it, like, especially if you're kind of a perfectionist or overthinker. I've been doing this for 7 years and I get it sometimes too. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Damn. I know you said 2016, but I was like, oh yeah, a couple of years ago, 7 years.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. In your 7 years of business and transitioning your niche kind of down throughout the years, what's something that you've accomplished in your business that you're like most proud of?
Something that I've accomplished in my business. I think what we just talked about, which was overcoming that fear, like that imposter syndrome, right? And understanding that I actually do provide value to my clients, and eventually finding client or realizing by the feedback that I get from my clients that I am very valuable to their business. I don't know. I think that's, for me, that was one of the biggest challenges that I had to overcome. So I would say that that's one of the biggest things that I've accomplished.
Totally. As soon as I said it, I was like, man, this sounds like an interview now. Like a job interview.
What are your strengths and weaknesses?
Tell me a time that you failed and overcame it.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's such an important one. And just like, because I love that you said like imposter syndrome still happens. It's just like being able to kind of like overcome it faster. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it comes from being conditioned in corporate America to think that, you know, well, you need to work really hard in order to get like a 2% raise a year, because, you know, you need to work 20 years if you want to get to like the manager position. Right. So it's kind of like instilled in you that you're not good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. But that's not true a lot of the time. Like you do have a lot to offer. So I think that's probably why most people struggle with the imposter syndrome.
Totally. That makes so much sense. Damn. That's so true. There's like epiphany moment over here. I love it. I'd love to talk a little bit of how, like, what empowered you to go from like a virtual assistant to digital nomad, I think was next, and then freelance coach. Like, what was that transition like?
Yeah, I think the digital nomad thing has been a thing since I quit my job back in 2016, because we just kept moving around. So we did Europe, and then we actually, you know, lived over in BC for a while, in Montreal, did a cross Canada road trip, just been hopping around like crazy. And I take my laptop everywhere. So I've been a digital nomad for a while. For the coaching, for the last few years, I always had like different people and like either friends or family ask me how I do it, what I do and how I started. And I would just kind of guide them and give them tips and be like, okay, you can start by doing this and doing that. And then last year, my best friend asked me to coach her because she wanted to become a virtual assistant, not to travel, but because she wanted to stay home with her kids and raise her family. And that's when I got the idea of, okay, maybe like a self-paced kind of program that outlines basically all my step-by-step, you know, process and framework for what to do or how to do what I do would be ideal, because coaching someone on a one-to-one takes too much of my time. And I still have clients of my own. Like I still work as a virtual assistant, so I still have to do that. And I just created the course and I started creating the course, didn't think any of it. I started posting on TikTok and Instagram, and then things kind of blew up. And I was like, okay, I guess I really need to actually finish this and start launch this course and start coaching. So like I said at the very beginning, sometimes I feel like everything has happened by accident, including the coaching.
No such thing as coincidences.
No.
Meant to be. That's it, so amazing. I love how it sounds like your course, you're just like, huh, I wonder if this will be interesting. And then you started making it, and then people are like, yes, please.
Yeah.
And just like proof that it's so valuable and needed.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are where we used to be, you back in 2018, me back in 2016, where we're kind of fed up and we want to have more freedom, just enjoy our day to day and not have to be stuck somewhere. And that really resonates with a lot of people because I don't know, I don't think that a lot of us are not made for sitting somewhere for 8 hours in like a dimly lit fluorescent light cubicle, right? So yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised.
Totally. I love that so much. It's funny because as like a, when I worked quote normal jobs, as I call them, I don't know what to call, like physical jobs, retail jobs.
Yeah.
Before my business, I did like very often like 8 hours, sometimes overtime up to like 10 hours a day kind of thing. And now with my business, I'll work like, I think my max is like 4 hours of like client work, but it's like so concentrated of client work. And I'm like, man, I don't even know how I could do 8 hours a day.
I know. I like to call it like my focus time because it's not like 4 hours of work spread out over 8 hours. It's just 4 hours of work. And like you sit down and you get in the, you know, your zone and then you start working and it's get it done and that's it. And then you can go and do groceries or do whatever else you need to do. You don't need to be like online, just sitting there being a warm body on a desk.
Totally. Totally. It's something I'm trying to like do this year too, because I would do like the whole 4 hours of concentrated work but have it over 8 hours kind of thing, and then it like led to burnout so quickly. So now I'm trying to really like concentrate it in the morning of like, this is work time, and then I have the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's so good.
Totally. I trust your expert opinion on this topic of like the transition into virtual assisting. In your opinion, what's like an important personality trait or strength that you think someone needs to have to like become a virtual assistant?
Oh, two. I would say two. One is being resourceful, because a lot of your clients know that they need help, but they don't necessarily know, you know, the most efficient way to do something, right? Or they'll have an issue like, oh, I don't know how to, you know, fix this issue with my email marketing tool or something like that. And they need someone to just like basically Google it, just like kind of figure it out on your own. So I think resourcefulness is really important, because as a virtual assistant, you're not an employee that goes in and just gets trained and then you, that's it. You do your day-to-day. It's a lot more free than that. And you're basically helping a business owner run their business. So you need to be resourceful and know how to figure things out on your own and just use Google. Basically, like sometimes I just Google things. Oh my God, I don't know how to do this. Help me, Google.
Oh my God, that's like 80% of my life is Googling.
Yeah, exactly. So just sticking with a problem until you figure out how to solve it and give your clients a solution. And the other one is being able to manage yourself, your workload, your tasks, and your time, because especially when you have more than one client, you need to be able to make sure that everything is getting done timely and nothing falls through the cracks. So being able to manage yourself and be organized.
Those are so great. Like those are great tips. I had another person on the podcast who was like, she actually runs the program that I did, which was like full circle. Really fun moment. And I asked her the same question. And it's funny because I'm like listening and I'm like, oh my God, is this me? I do that? But that's so true. Like with the Googling.
Yeah.
And a lot of my clients, as just like, I kind of come on as like the organizer, general admin, little bit of everything person. So a lot of my clients will just kind of like word vomit their business onto me and be like, make it better.
Yeah. It's basically our job, getting like a bunch of randomness from them and, you know, just helping them fix it.
Mm-hmm. I like to think of it as like, if you gave me like a ball of yarn with like a million different threads in it, is like, you know, unwinding the ball of yarn and like organizing it.
Exactly. And another thing is that as you get more experience as a virtual assistant, or as you get more experience working with different clients, you get better at, you know, unraveling that ball of yarn, and it becomes easier and faster. So it's, you know, at the beginning, it's like a little bit like, oh my God. But eventually it just, yeah, no problem. I can help you with that.
Totally. That's so good. Amazing. I'm curious. Like I said, I'm just going to pick your brain as like a VA coach, freelance coach, because I've been in the industry for so long, but like the learning never stops. What is your favorite like productivity hack that you have, or that you like to, you know, share with your clients?
Oh, like those deep focus work time. So I'll block my calendar. I have like a number of tasks that have kind of accumulated. I block off my calendar, and there's a times, you know, certain amount of time within my day where I'm like, okay, this is deep focus time. I'm only going to be sitting down and getting shit done, right? Phone is off, email is off. There's no like distractions. There's no notifications. That's been like a game changer for me because I can get so much work done within that time. And another thing is using like task management apps. Because something like Asana or Trello or something like that, because when you're working with clients, they'll have a lot of things for you to do, but they just kind of email you. Having something like that, it's super great to organize everything. So they can assign a task to you and you can organize it, prioritize it, schedule it or something like that. So that's also been a game changer.
I love that. I cannot function without a project management tool or like the task management. Like if my client is not already on one, that is the first thing that we set up.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. See, my entire life is in Asana.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm an Asana fan. I just recently switched to Asana like last year. I was in Trello for a while, but Asana is just shameless self promo. Mm-hmm. I guess shameless plug. Asana is the best.
Yes.
It's also great because I love the fact that you can like I love that it makes a to-do list for you. So that's my favorite thing. I love a good list, and Asana like accumulates your tasks as like a to-do list. And it's great because my client is like, she's a mom of three, one of my clients. So she'll like work in the morning and then like spunt in the afternoon, like at midnight kind of thing, like when she gets motivation. And so it's great because she'll go on and she'll like task vomit a bunch of things for me. And so I'll wake up with like, she's also in the East Coast and I'm in the West Coast. So she's like 3 hours ahead of me. So it's like, by the time my day starts, she's already like halfway through hers.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll just wake up with like a bunch of tasks and it's great.
You know, it's ideal. You can just drag and drop them, add a, you know, due date, everything like that. And instead of writing everything down. So that's great.
I'm curious if, cause I imagine over the 7 years you've had kind of like the ups and downs of mindset and that kind of stuff. If you're really not feeling it, how do you like kind of ground yourself and like motivate yourself to like work, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. I really haven't felt that way. Not a lot. At the very, very beginning, I would get discouraged because I'm like, oh, I'm not landing any clients or my proposals are getting rejected. So I just, at that time, I kept a vision of where I wanted to be. Like, I wanted to be in this beach in Portugal sometime and like just sitting there hanging out. I wanted to like work from a cafe in Paris and like, you know, have my Emily in Paris moments, even though Emily in Paris didn't exist back then, but anyways, or I wanted, like, I always had, like, I visualized where I wanted to be. And likewise, I would come back to reality and see where I currently was and realize that I don't want to be there forever. So that gave me like that burst of motivation to, you know, keep trying, even if the freelance doesn't work, even if the virtual assistant stuff doesn't work, keep going and keep trying to find your way out of here, because this is not where you're meant to be.
Damn, that's so inspiring. That's wow. Even listening to that, I was like, how did you know I want to be on a beach in Portugal and a cafe in Paris?
And I did both of those things. Like I did them. And when I was doing it, it was so euphoric. It was like, I can do anything. Like if I am working from a freaking cafe in Paris, like, are you kidding me? I can do it. So I just, you know, kept going. And since then, like, I haven't had that feeling of unmotivation. since I started my business, because I've genuinely loved every single day of it. Like, I love working with my clients. If I ever encounter or end up with a client that I don't like working with or that I don't vibe with, I get rid of it. I get rid of them. That's it, right? And I find somebody else to replace them. So I haven't felt that way since the very beginning, but that's what I used at the beginning. See where I wanted to be and see where I currently was.
That's so inspiring. I love that. I also love how that's such an ode to like the freelance world and the entrepreneurial world of like, it's so fluid that you can just be like, well, I don't vibe with you anymore. Bye. You
know? Exactly. Yeah. It's good for both of you, because if you don't like working with them, they're likely not getting the value that they're looking for in a freelancer. And there's another freelancer that's a better fit for them anyways. So you don't have to like stick around just because you have to, right? You can keep going.
That's so good. I feel like I could pick your brain forever. This is so good. We talked about Asana a little bit, and I know I'm really just picking your brain here. What are your favorite like platforms that you use in your business that you like couldn't live without besides Asana? Because we already covered that.
I mean, Asana, yeah. I'm not sure to run my own or for other clients, because they're
first thing that comes to mind.
I love my email marketing too, Flowdesk. Oh, they are
amazing. Oh my god, we use Flowdesk.
Yeah,
I love Flowdesk. It's so, so good.
It's so good. And I've worked with so many different, because I specialize as a marketing virtual assistant, so I use so many different email marketing tools, and they're just such a pain in the ass. And when I encountered Flowdesk, I adopted that for my own business, and it's just like I love it. I just love them.
It's so good. Yeah. Shameless self promo. There'll be a link in the description.
Yes,
they're just so like easy and user friendly too. And their support is just, this has just turned into an ad for Flowdesk.
Exactly. And then the other one that I use both for myself and clients is Zapier. Like if I need to connect things, like if I need to connect two tools together, it's Zapier. Like it's just, it does everything for you basically. So I
cannot live without it.
I literally cannot live. I can't live without Asana. I can't live without Zapier for sure. And at this point, I can't live without Flowdesk.
Oh my God, I love it. I would say the exact same things, like Flowdesk and Asana. Yeah. I call it Zapier because I like to zap stuff.
Yeah.
Zap, zap. It's so good.
Yeah.
So useful. Amazing. Amazing. Again, I feel like I could pick your brain forever, but I want to start kind of like winding down the pod here. So I'm very curious what your unpopular opinion is around whatever we talked about today. First thing that comes to mind.
First thing that comes to mind. Well, it's not an unpopular opinion to say that the 9-to-5 or climbing a corporate ladder is, you know, played out basically. So I don't think that's an over, you know, but I'm trying to think of another one that's actually unpopular.
I love how in the podcast, like I like to ask the unpopular opinion for like every guest I've had. I think we've done it every single guest episode. And it's funny how many times they'll be like, this is my unpopular opinion. And I'm like, that's not an that's just fact.
I know. You know? Oh yeah, exactly. That's why I wanted to think of an action unpopular. And I've heard a lot of people, this might be an unpopular opinion, a lot of people that say I can't be a virtual assistant because everybody's a virtual assistant or too many people are becoming virtual assistants. And I disagree, because there are just as many small or medium-sized business owners who need help. So there is still like a huge market for admin help, especially if you find yourself a niche. Like if you decide, oh, I want to be a virtual assistant for health and wellness kind of businesses, or you know, content creators or something like that, or I don't know, whatever other type of niche, there is definitely opportunity out there. So I really think that it's still very possible for anybody to start this journey as a virtual assistant. So yeah, I guess that's my
opinion. I love that so much. I love that. I work with a lot of like my clientele, or my niche kind of thing is like life coaches or just like coaches in general. I tend to work with a lot of them, and I hear it a lot in that industry too of like, oh, you need to find your ideal client, you need to niche down and all this stuff. But like, or like a lot of the worried for the industry to be like oversaturated. And it's like, no, yeah, people are always going to need help. There's always going to be more coaches. There's always going to be a need for more coaches. And when you get that need for more coaches, everybody needs a VA because everybody needs help.
And all the small businesses continue to grow and scale, and they need help as well. So yeah, there's definitely still a huge need. Even my own students, they've, you know, landed clients, you know, after starting the program. And yeah, like they just started, like they just created their website or their, you know, profile.
Amazing.
Yeah, I still see a lot of movement in that area for both freelancers in general, so another type of profession, and virtual assistant work.
Also, everyone could use a VA. Like VAs won the world. Like I'm a virtual assistant and I have a virtual assistant, you know?
Same's easier. Like at this point, I have one too, because I need one. I need somebody to help me organize everything. And it's really important to point out that we are like small, very small businesses, and we can't hire someone, right? So that's what freelancers are for. That's what virtual assistants are for. So we're always going to be needed.
Totally. Oh, I love that so much. Like I said, not an unpopular opinion, just fact.
Exactly. Fact.
Amazing. This has been such a fun conversation. I think my last question for you here is, we always do I miss Jill. I don't know if you're familiar with the pod, but I had a co-host when we first started.
Yeah.
And I still say we all the time. Jill's still in our hearts. She's dealing with it. Yeah. I hope she'll come back soon. But yeah, we always do a permission slip at the end of the podcast. So I would love to share our permission slips now. I'll go first so you can kind of think about yours, because I don't like to put our guests on the spot. I think my permission slip this week is permission to celebrate the growth that I've had since starting my business, and to celebrate the fact that I've had a sustainable business for going on 4 years now, which has been really fun. And also to permission to visualize where I want to be, because I love that when you said that, of like visualizing where I want to be and then like actively working towards it. Because it was funny, I was scrolling Instagram the other day, and like I'm currently in Whistler, but I've like started this digital nomad journey of like I'm wanting to travel the world, you know. And I saw one of my friends on Instagram is like planning a trip to Costa Rica soon.
Yeah.
And she was like asking about recommendations and like sharing the places that she's already booked. And I was like, wow, that looks so cool. I wish I could do that. And then I'm like, I can, I will.
Exactly. I love that. Yeah. Just it helps you realize that the abilities that you have, that, I can actually do that. I'm just choosing not to right now.
Totally. I also love what you said of digital nomadness, because when I think digital nomad, I'm like half naked on a beach in Bali, you know, or like somewhere tropical. But like I've spent the last 3 years kind of traveling around BC and like moving around a lot. And it's like, technically that's digital nomadness.
100%. I mean, like our trip, we did a cross Canada trip, and that was very digital nomad-y. Like Canada's big, man.
Canada's huge.
And there is so much to see. It's so cool. So yeah, if you're thinking of expanding outside of BC, all the way down the East Coast, it's amazing. And then back, it's
fun. Yeah, I've done a couple of road trips across Canada, and it's crazy because you leave like BC and you drive for like 40 hours and you get like, you like hit Ontario.
Exactly.
Hey, and then you drive for another 24 hours and then you hit mid Ontario.
Yeah, I know. I did not realize how big Ontario was. Like, what the heck?
It's huge.
Insane. But yeah, it was fun. So yeah.
What is your permission slip this week? Hopefully I've given you enough time to think.
Yes, I think my permission slip is allowing myself to take time off without feeling guilty, because I have been struggling with that so much after a year of a lot of work. You know, when you sit down and you wind down and you feel like, ooh, I should be doing something. Like I should be, you know, there's this task and that task. I'm giving myself permission to kind of unplug and settle down or wind down and just be okay with it and not feel guilty about it.
Yes, I love that. 2023 is the year of unapologetic boundaries.
Just chilling.
I love it so much. That's such a good one. I might steal that one too.
Yeah, go for it.
Excellent. Amazing. This has been such an amazing conversation. I'm curious, Vivian, where people can find you online.
I am on Instagram and TikTok at virtual.vivian. Super easy.
Amazing. And where can we find your course, your self-paced course?
Oh, they are both on the link in bio in my TikTok and Instagram, as well as on my website, virtualvivian.com.
Amazing. We'll have all that linked in the show notes so you can check it out. If you're curious about becoming a virtual assistant, do it. It's fun.
Yeah, we love it. It's awesome. Come join the GAN. Join the dark side.
So good. Yes. Join the VA side.
The rebel side.
I love it. Yeah, go follow her on Instagram and on TikTok. And if you're on Instagram and you need someone else to follow, go follow wildly.balance because it's super fun over there.
Yay.
Amazing. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Carly. It was awesome talking to you.